on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. I'm your host, Luke Guerrero, and today's Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. Wow. We are halfway through the month of December and well on our way towards the end of the fourth quarter of 2025. Christmas is a mere 9 days away. The new year, just 15 days away, 16 days away. So before you know it, it will be 2026. Now, we at InvestTalk hope that in 2025, we played at least a small role in helping to make you a better and more informed investor. And our mission, it does not change just because the calendar does. We will continue to bring you a mixture of educational items, actionable material, warnings. And most importantly, in 2026, we pledge to continue to answer your finance and investment questions. But because the holidays are around the corner, just a quick heads up and an invitation, this year we're doing something brand new. The first ever InvestTalk holiday special. When does that drop, you might ask? Well, that comes to all of you on December 18th, this coming Thursday, exclusively on our YouTube channel. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's an end-of-year episode where we look back at the biggest market themes of 2025, highlight a few lessons we're carrying into 2026, and talk all about the caller question of the year, plus a couple surprises you won't get in our regular show. To watch the InvestTalk holiday special, head over to YouTube and search InvestTalk with two T's or use the link in today's show notes. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell so you don't miss this episode or any other episode over there on our YouTube channel. Alrighty, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down those show topics. But let's tackle this caller question now.
Hey, it is Art from Tucson. I am calling about Centrus Energy Corp, LEU. Wondering if I should pick up more for the long term or if it's time to get out of the stock. Thanks, and I'll listen on the podcast.
Ticker LEU is Centrus Energy Corp. It is a U.S. nuclear fuel supplier that focuses on components and services for the nuclear power industry. So LEU, which is its ticker, also stands for low enriched uranium. It supplies enriched uranium products and conversion services used as nuclear reactor fuel. The company was formerly known as USEC Inc. before it rebranded to Centrus Energy. And, you know, I would say it's been doing pretty well. It's up 254% year-to-date, up 207% over the past 52 weeks. One of the reasons why is because nuclear power has been a big beneficiary of the AI build-out. Because what do data centers need? What do servers need? They need energy. So uranium has done well, nuclear power has done well, a lot of natural gas names have done well, and companies have been making specific deals with companies such as this. Now, LEU has benefited from, again, that growing investor interest in nuclear energy combined with fuel supply tightness. Utilities need this enriched uranium in order to fuel these reactors, and so that kind of strengthens the relevance of this company. Have you seen that in the stock price as well as its growing revenue, up 16.1% on an annualized basis going back to 2019. Same time, net income has grown from $51 million a couple years ago to $89 million. Margins, solid. Projected to be 20% net margin this year. Return on equity sits at 25%. Now, this is a pretty, you know, a decent sized company. It's not too big. It's on the upper end of the small caps. It's a $5.131 billion market cap company. It has a bit of debt, about $500 million in debt. So really what you're seeing is momentum that is, yes, tied to the industry, but it is one of the few U.S. suppliers licensed to produce enriched uranium, meaning that because of its benefits of where it is within the industry, it has outperformed pretty broadly, right? 194% is how much it's outperformed the industry in general. And let's put it in a position where it is a little expensive, right? 57 times price to forward-looking earnings, 31 times price to cash flow, 10 times price to sales. Headed into year-end, stocks that have been done well can tend to continue to rally, and recent earnings suggest that this thing could continue to head higher. I think that nuclear power, uranium, and companies such as this play an integral part in attacking the AI growth theme. For now, though, headed into year-end when things tend to rally, maybe expect a bit of a sell-off into next year. You're starting to see a bit of a rotation. So for now, I'd keep it on my watch list, but certainly I'd be quick to pull the trigger on Centrus Energy Corp, ticker LEU. Thanks for the call. We've got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, and here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this story: the nation's unsustainable fiscal path. The national debt crisis is no longer just a political problem. It's an investment bomb that will drive up your interest rates and throttle private sector growth. We'll also touch on how Chinese companies, well, they've been benefiting and are likely to power the global AI buildout. We'll also touch on prediction markets and their explosion over the past 2 years. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll talk about another explosion, the potential AI debt bust, and how investor demand for credit default swaps is reshaping that market. We also have some voice bank calls ready to play, including one on State Street's Industrial Select Sector Spider ETF, ticker XLI, and another on stocks on sale, as well as some questions that came in from the comment section of the Invest Hockey YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now or anytime throughout the show. We're headed into a break, our first break of the day. Still to come, my main focus point: a brief description of what happened in the market today, and hopefully some live calls. If you're listening on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com, and while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions, 888-99-CHART. The calls are free, the unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk a little bit about the market today. Negative for the most part across the board. The Dow was down 62 basis points. S&P 500 down 24. NASDAQ, though, positive bright spot, up 23. Russell 2000 down 45. Although stocks did finish mostly lower, they did end a bit off of their worst levels, with the S&P 500 now posting its third straight decline. Some of the worst performers, looks like energy did poorly, pharma and biotech names, money center banks, insurers. Some of the bright spots in the market today included airlines, exchanges, cybersecurity, entertainment, dollar stores, and cosmetics. On the bond side, treasuries looked a bit firmer across the curve. You did see yields down anywhere from 3 to 4 basis points. Same time, the dollar index was down 20 basis points. Gold ended down 10 basis points, and crude oil down again 2.7%, closing at its lowest level since February of 2021, amidst those latest Russia-Ukraine peace headlines. Busy day, a lot of high-profile data, but not really a big directional driver from that data, which was kind of expected. Pretty quiet outside of that data as well. The market is kind of in a waiting mode for some more high-profile earnings, for November CPI, for the expected decision from the Bank of Japan, and for a bit more color on the potential Trump Fed pick ahead of one of the seasonally strongest periods, at least historically, for stocks. On the data front, November non-farm payrolls printed at 64,000, better than the 50,000 consensus. Report also put October non-farm payrolls at negative 105,000. August and September was also revised down by a combined 33,000, while the November unemployment rate rose to 4.6% versus the expectation, which was a tick up to 4.5%. Elsewhere, headline October retail sales came in a little unchanged month over month, with sales ex autos better than consensus. December S&P Global Flash PMIs was at 53 versus November's 54.2. The release noting it was the slowest rate of monthly growth since June, with a decrease across both services and manufacturing components. Media report also said the president expected to interview Waller for the Fed chair position this week, though Hassett still the slight favorite despite recent momentum from other candidates. No data scheduled for Wednesday, though we will get a bit of Fed speak. Initial claims, November CPI and December Philly Fed manufacturing will be out on Thursday, and Friday will bring us the November existing home sales, as well as the final University of Michigan consumer sentiment and inflation expectations for the month of December. All right, let's keep things moving and tackle a question from the InvestTalk YouTube comment section question bank. This one earlier came in on JSDA, which is Jones Soda. The question is, does InvestTalk have any thoughts on JSDA, aka Jones Soda Company? They just had a partnership with Costco and the company has been around for a while. Do you think the company has some life left? Seems like it was about to go out of business before this partnership. I'm thinking about picking up some shares as a high-risk play as a young investor, and I'm interested in your thoughts. Well, Jones Soda is a soda company, small U.S. beverage company, about $121 million market cap. And in terms of its financial position, not great, right? They aren't in any debt at all. They got zero debt right now, but frankly, does not look solid, right? They have had revenue growth over the past 5 years, but they have not been able to turn that into a profit. EBITDA margin, negative 51%. And really, that's a low over the past 4 years, because in December 2021, the number sat at negative 12%. Now, they have appointed new leaders, a new COO, a new CMO. They have expanded their distribution into new products. But, you know, that has led to a bit of a surge in the price. Year to date, they're up 107%, up 108% in the past 52 weeks, up 84% in the past 3 months. But free cash flow is still grossly negative. Net operating cash flow is still grossly negative. EBIT, net income, everything, top to bottom, still incredibly negative. And then to add on top of that, this is a very small company, meaning that small changes can affect it greatly in spite of whatever deals it may or may not have with other companies like Costco. And so because of that, this I kind of put in the category of those biotech names. Now, maybe not as aggressively risky as that, right? Those companies tend to be, you know, focused on developing a drug that may not be in development. They're pre-revenue. At least this company has some revenue here. But looking back at the past 5 years, I mean, you can see it here. It is not great. And in fact, it has become progressively more and more negative. So you mentioned it would be a high-risk play. It certainly would be a high-risk play. I would call this, frankly, a bit of a gamble. And so For most investors, I would not think that you would want to include a company like Jones Soda into your portfolio, especially given this high volume run-up and high volume on a relative basis, because volume tends to be a bit low for this name anyway. So for ticker JSDA, which is Jones Soda Company, gonna have to pass. Thanks for watching. We're headed into break. Still to come, my main focus point and more answers to your finance and investment questions. Richard from Santa Clarita, hang on, you will be next. The number of data breaches worldwide rises every year, going up by 211% from 2023 to 2024, due mainly to 5 mega breaches. Scams, identity theft, they all start with your personal data being exposed across various websites. It's on people search sites, in data broker databases, shady directories, AI answers, and even search results. That's the part most people don't see. Their home address, phone number, email accounts, and social security number aren't just leaked. They're being actively bought and sold by bad actors. But you can protect yourself now with Incogni. Incogni tracks down and removes your personal data from multiple sites, including online directories, people search sites, and even commercial databases. The Incogni process is fully automated for hundreds of known data brokers, companies that collect and sell your data without your consent. The categories of data brokers Incogni covers include marketing, recruitment, health information, risk mitigation, financial information, and people search sites. With Incogni, you can protect your privacy in 3 easy steps. Remember, they can't harm you if they can't find you. So, take back your personal data with Incogni. Use code INVESTTALK to get 60% off annual plans. Go to incogni.com/investtalk. You can also find the link in the episode description.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Richard from Santa Clarita. How can we help you?
Hi, Luke. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about Occidental Petroleum, OXY. This is a stock that really had a rough time over the last couple of years. It was one of the ones that Warren Buffett had a large holding in. I'm not sure if he kept it or what happened there. And I realize that oil is one of the beaten down areas lately. But it's done a lot worse than seems like, like Canadian Natural Resources or Exxon Mobil. So I'm just wondering, is this something where there is some potential for some recovery, or is, in other words, would this be a good buy at this point? And if you had it, you lost a bit on it. Is it something worth holding?
It's a great question. Occidental Petroleum Company, ticker OXY, is a large U.S.-based integrated energy company. So they do oil and gas exploration, they do midstream and marketing, as well as the production of industrial chemicals and other related products. And it's had a rough time, right? It's trading at $38.92 per share. It's been on a consistent downtrend since 2022. And a lot of that is, as you mentioned, driven by where the oil market is right now. Right? You cannot get past that. Right? The oil price backdrop is absolutely horrendous for companies who derive a lot of their revenue from selling oil. On the positive side, they have been reducing debt a bit, but they still have a crazy amount of debt, right? They're a $40 billion market cap company, and they have $25 billion in debt, which is down from $39.3 billion in 2019, but they took on a bunch of debt when they started to acquire companies. They acquired, what was the name of that company that they acquired? There was one acquisition in 2019. It's escaping me. Andarco. Andarco in 2019. They acquired Crown Rock in 2023. And so there was a bit of a debt burden from there, which then coincided with this fall off in global oil demand, increase in global oil supply, and then obvious subsequent fall in oil price. Now, they have had a pretty consistent dividend over the past couple years, so that's another benefit to them. But earnings and production have just been rough and mixed. And so with the heavy debt burden, expectedly, this underperformed rather its industry by 18.8% in 2024. It's underperforming its industry by 25.5% in 2025. And that's also in spite of this plan to streamline its business, right? They sold off part of its chemical business to Berkshire Hathaway in October. At least it was announced in October. And so, you know, I think that generally speaking, oil businesses have just not been able to outrun the trend in oil production and oil demand globally. And so holding on to one that has this much debt burden, I just think there are better opportunities elsewhere. That is Occidental Petroleum Corporation, ticker OXY. Have a nice day, Richard.
Thank you.
Let's keep things moving and play another listener question now.
This is Tyler from Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm quite an amateur investor. Is it a good idea to essentially mirror their investments, but only really invest when their stocks are on sale, you know, say a PE of less than 15? Is that a good idea to get in, take position into these stocks at a good price over the long term? Looking forward to your answer on the show. Thanks. Bye.
So I'm not sure exactly what is being asked here, because the caller says, is it a good idea to mirror someone's investments? I don't know of whom you're speaking, but typically, you know, one of the pieces of advice that Steve always gave and that I fully agree with was knowing what you own. And so by just mirroring somebody else's trades, you certainly, unless you do your due diligence, but just purely mirroring would not fall under the category of knowing what you own. Now, the second part of that question is stocks on sale. What does that mean? What does it being on sale mean? If you're just looking at companies that have prices that are lower than they have been, well, maybe they are lower for a reason. The last part of the question is about a PE of 15. Different industries, different types of companies, different sectors, all have various comparative relative valuations. Tech companies are going to trade at way higher multiples than utility companies. Does that mean that utility companies are going to have more growth because there's some sort of average PE that everybody is moving towards? No, absolutely not. All of these things are situationally dependent. And so you can't have this hard and fast rule of, okay, this is cheap, this is expensive. It all is relative to the company's history, relative to the industry, relative to the sector broadly, and relative to the market. So just mirroring people's trades, waiting until those trades become a bit cheaper, I don't think is a solid investment strategy. Thanks for the call. On the next Invest Talk, we will have another exciting, well, exciting for me at least, topic for you all. It's about CRE, commercial real estate distress. And where are the opportunities? Commercial real estate is hitting rock bottom, so we will explain how to buy discounted distressed debt without owning a single office building, giving you a bit of broad diversity without that concentrated risk. That'll be tomorrow. But for now, I'm Luke Guerrero, ready to take more of your calls. You know the number. You can leave a voicemail anytime, 24/7, and we will tackle that on the show. But this is the special hour where you get to call in live. That number is 888-99-CHART. This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, Give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest529 account today. Go to Invest529.com to get started.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce the Holiday Estate Bundle. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started.
Is the nation's fiscal path unsustainable? Well, it is quietly becoming one of the most important macro backdrops for markets, even though it rarely drives day-to-day headlines. Federal debt held by the public is now growing faster than the economy itself, a pattern that historically has not persisted without consequences. And unlike past cycles where debt stabilized or fell during economic expansions, recent decades have pretty strongly broken that pattern entirely. Under current policies, debt is projected to reach roughly 106% of GDP by 2027 and continue to climb towards levels that would be unprecedented outside of wartime. Longer term, the trajectory points towards debt approaching 200% of GDP by 2040, which reframes debt from a distant issue into a live macro risk. Now, the core problem is simple. The government has run a deficit every single year since 2002, spending more than it collects. And demographics are a major driver of this as well. As an aging population pushes Social Security and Medicare spending higher each year, well, the healthcare costs are compounding that pressure. They're making entitlement spending structurally difficult to contain without any policy changes. Higher interest rates, especially in the past couple of years, have also added fuel to the problem because rising debt now carries a much higher servicing cost. Net interest expense jumped to roughly $882 billion in 2024, growing faster than defense or even Medicare spending. The interest bill is not abstract. It represents money that cannot be used for infrastructure, for education, for productivity-enhancing investments. And as debt climbs, markets become increasingly sensitive to political dysfunction around budgeting and borrowing. A renewed debt ceiling standoff would not necessarily mean default, but it could inject sharp volatility into markets very quickly. In a 401k or a brokerage account, that typically shows up as short-term equity drawdowns, wider credit spreads, falling treasury prices. So you see that our investments are affected by this as well. Even brief debt ceiling scares tend to raise risk premiums, which can hurt stock valuations and bond prices simultaneously. Now, while these episodes have historically resolved, they can still impact portfolios through temporary losses or even forced selling. Beyond these episodic crises, right, there is a slower moving concern around whether interest rate payments are already crowding out private investment. As the government absorbs more capital in order to finance these deficits, finance product projects, it competes with businesses for savings and credit. So over time, this competition can do what's called the crowding out effect. It can push borrowing costs higher for companies and discourage capital spending and innovation, creating a cycle where, well, debt is increasing and growth is lower. It slows that private investment, eventually feeding into slower wage gains and slower productivity growth as well. Now, this doesn't happen overnight, right? It accumulates quietly as debt and rates remain elevated. And so investors are increasingly forced to think about how persistent fiscal pressure changes these long-term asset returns. One natural question is whether these risks argue for holding more foreign debt or more real assets like gold. Foreign bonds can offer diversification, especially if the U.S. fiscal situation leads to currency volatility or higher domestic rates. And gold tends to attract interest during periods of fiscal uncertainty because it is not tied to any government's balance sheet. That said, frankly, neither is a cure-all. Foreign debt carries currency political risk, while gold produces no income. And so for most investors, the takeaway is diversification, rather than wholesale shifts away from U.S. assets, is likely the move to make. Now, fiscal risk is best managed by balancing exposure across asset classes, across geographies, and real versus nominal claims. The largest message is that debt is no longer just a policy debate. It is a structural factor shaping interest rates, growth, and market behavior. The longer reforms are delayed, the more abrupt future adjustments are likely to be, which markets tend to dislike. So, for investors, understanding this backdrop helps frame why volatility, rates, and risk premiums may remain higher than in the past decade. Let's keep things moving and play another listener question now.
I'm looking at the ETF XLI to try to get into some of the industrials. Is this an okay time to get into it? Is there a price that I should be looking at or waiting for to take a position in this to try to get some exposure? Also, is XLI something you would think is a good choice right now? I know, Justin, you'll probably tell us that you'd prefer some individual funds over this, but for those of us that maybe aren't knowledgeable enough to intelligently pick some individual funds in the industrial sector, would this be a good way to get some exposure? Thank you.
Ticker XLI is the State Street Industrial Sector Spider ETF. So what it does is it gives you broad U.S. industrial exposure by selecting from the S&P 500, which does limit its small and mid-cap exposure. That is kind of one downside to this fund. You can see that 98.42% of this ETF is large caps. Only 1.52% is mid caps. Zero small caps, zero micro caps. And so that's certainly something you're missing out on, because we know that historically, and this has not manifested itself in the past couple of years, but historically small and mid caps tend to outperform large caps over longer periods of time. But if you're okay with that, if you're just looking for that industrial exposure and you're okay with just having large caps, this is a decent fund to get that passively managed exposure. And because it's passively managed, it's only about 8 basis points is its net expense ratio. You know, we like the industrial space. We think that the industrial space is a good sector in which to attack the AI growth theme without being overly exposed to those hyperscalers. And if you are like this caller who says they don't really have time to dive into ETFs that are more concentrated or companies and get that concentrated exposure, I think XLI is a great way to get invested. Thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk, now with more than 62 million downloads. And we're going to tackle more of your questions in about 30 seconds. So hang on. Hello, investors. Lou Guerrero here with a quick heads up and an invite. This year, we're doing something brand new. The first ever Invest Talk holiday special. And it drops December 18th exclusively on our YouTube channel. It's going to be a fun end-of-year episode where we look back at the biggest market themes of 2025, highlight a few lessons we're carrying into 2026, and choose the caller question of the year, plus a couple surprises you won't get in our regular format. To watch the Invest Talk holiday special, head over to YouTube and search Invest Talk with 2 T's, or use the link in today's show notes. And while you're there, subscribe and hit the bell so you don't miss it on December 18th. Let's talk a little bit about China, and specifically how shares of Chinese makers of batteries, transformers, and power equipment has surged this year as the global AI boom collides with overstretched electricity grids. Companies like CATL and SunGrow are at the center of this rally, benefiting from soaring demand for energy storage, as well as grid equipment needed to power data centers. CATL stock is up 45% this year, while SunGrow has jumped 130%, helping lift China's CSI New Energy Index nearly 40% in 2025. And analysts are saying that this sudden scramble reflects how unprepared legacy grids are for the electricity demands of AI, forcing data center builders to look for fast and scalable solutions. And this is all despite trade tensions, right? China supplies the bulk of US battery and energy storage imports, effectively powering not just its own economy, but much of the Western AI build-out as well. Export markets are especially lucrative, with Chinese firms earning far higher margins overseas than at home, and even after absorbing the US tariffs. Profit margins on exported energy storage systems can be 3 to 5 times higher than domestic sales, while transformer margins abroad can reach 40 to 50%. The International Energy Agency, the IEA, expects data center electricity use to more than double by 2030, intensifying reliance on batteries, microgrids, and off-grid power solutions. U.S. lithium-ion battery imports from China have risen sharply, accounting for 60% of imports this year, underscoring how limited alternative suppliers remain. Analysts argue that despite years of this decoupling rhetoric, the U.S. and China remain deeply intertwined in the AI-related supply chains. And China's structural advantages, like lower costs, faster delivery, and leadership in safer lithium-ion phosphate batteries, well, they leave Western buyers with few realistic substitutes. That dependence may soon be tested as the Trump administration plans higher tariffs and tougher rules next year, potentially disrupting a supply chain the AI industry currently cannot do without. Looks like we got plenty of time to answer one more question before our final break.
My name's Sherry from New York, and I was calling to ask about ticker symbol TECK, T-E-C-K, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. I have a small position in it, and maybe your opinion on the overall sector that tech is in. Look forward to hearing your answer on the podcast, and thank you so much.
Tech Resources is a mining and exploration company. So they're a major, major, major Canadian metals and mining company. $29 billion market cap, so decently sized. And they produce copper and zinc and other base metals that are essential for industrial demand and industrial production, as well as the green energy transition. Year to date, it's up only 2%, though, up 7% over the past 3 months. And one of the things that is a bit alarming is, yes, it's a commodities name, so revenue tends to be a bit volatile, but this is a highly volatile revenue, right? From $17.3 billion down to $15 billion in 2023, down to $9 billion in 2024, then up to $10 billion in 2025. Now, one of the bigger developments this year is a large merger, the merger with Anglo American, which creates a new global mining heavyweight. So shareholders voted in favor of the roughly $53 billion all-stock merger in early December of this year, and that is a key advancement into trying to combine these two companies. So, you know, we talk about this oftentimes on the show, and historically speaking, mergers are hard. There's a lot of uncertainty with mergers about what the synergies are going to be, about combining different business entities, and more than half of mergers do not leave an entity that benefited from that merger. Is that going to happen here? Who knows, right? Copper demand has been rising due to electrification, electrical vehicles, renewable energy, data centers. And so there is a big, big, big tailwind to not just Tech Resources, whatever this combined entity is going to be, but metals and miners broadly. And the metal pricing environment has been positive for this year. But in spite of that, the company's having not much to show for it. Right, net income was negative last year. It's projected to be $1.1 billion this year. But return on equity is only sitting at 4.4% in what is a pretty favorable environment. And so for me, there's a lot of risks here, right? There's production and operational risk because their mines have had some operational challenges. There's the cyclicality of commodities, but you can't really escape that no matter what miner you're investing in. But the big risk here, the biggest risk, merger and regulatory uncertainty. While there is regulatory approval secured, there are still other jurisdictions where they need approval. In my estimation, in all likelihood, the merger will probably go through, but it'll be some time before these companies even realize any of these synergies, if they are realized at all. So, I like your idea. You want to be in the metals industry, specifically copper, certainly a good place to be in. Gold is another area that is a good place to be in terms of metal miners. But I think there's just a bit too much risk for Teck Resources. That is TECK. Thanks for the call. Now, I don't know if you've taken a look at it yet, but if you want to head over to our InvestTalk YouTube channel, that is InvestTalk with two T's, we recently posted our newest InvestTalk Wealth webinar. That webinar, though, for some may not be exciting. I think it is applicable to all, and that is because we discussed our year-end tax toolkit. We talked all about the sorts of things you should be thinking about headed into 2026, as there are a lot of tax law changes on the horizon. But more importantly, we not only talked about how you can prepare at year-end, but how you should be preparing each and every day of the year in order to minimize that tax bill as much as you can. If you're interested, head over to our YouTube channel. Just search InvestTalk with two T's for our latest InvestTalk Wealth webinar. This is InvestTalk. I'm Lou Guerrero, and we have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after our final break, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Here's a quick heads up and an invitation. This year, KPP Financial is doing something new. The first ever InvestTalk Holiday Special. And it drops December 18th exclusively on the InvestTalk YouTube channel. To watch the InvestTalk Holiday Special, head over to YouTube and search InvestTalk with two T's. And while you're there, subscribe and hit the bell.
Hello, Justin and Luke. I am calling in with a question on Cisco. The symbol is CSCO. I've been a long-time holder of the stock, and it hasn't seen much movement, but now I think it's at all-time high. Wanted to see what you think the outlook is and whether to continue to hold or would it be a good idea to take some profit. I'll be listening to your podcast. Thank you.
Cisco Systems, ticker CSCO, is a global leader in networking, hardware, software, and telecommunications equipment names. And it recently reached an all-time high, something it has not done since March of 2000, the dot-com era. And that's after it has climbed dramatically in 2025. Year-to-date up 31%, up 32.90% in the past 52 weeks. And what has driven this? Well, good earnings, strong guidance, institutional support, dividend and buybacks, which are solid. But most importantly, AI and data center demand. They're benefiting from the strong demand for networking gear tied to the AI infrastructure build-out, which is why we also hold Cisco in one of our strategies for our clients. We like Cisco. We think it's a good company. We think it has an integral role in what has been the largest driver of CapEx this year, and really for the past couple of years. That being said, profitable, always good to take some off the table. That is Cisco Systems, ticker CSCO. I imagine you know by now that prediction markets have exploded in size. But I don't know if you know the scale. They've grown 130-fold over the past 2 years as users rush to wager on everything from elections to sports and pop culture. Monthly betting volumes have surged from under 100 million in 2024 to more than 13 billion by November, a month, signaling a dramatic shift in how people speculate on real-world events. Platforms like Polymarket and Kalshi let users trade what's called event contracts that are tied to outcomes such as inflation data, playoff results, Senate races, and it started to blur the line between finance and gambling. The sector's rapid growth has fueled eye-popping valuations, with Kalshi recently raising $1 billion at an $11 billion valuation, and Polymarket drawing a $2 billion investment from the owner of the New York Stock Exchange. Now, prediction markets argue they aren't sports betting, which they are, which remains illegal in many states, but federally regulated financial contracts overseen by the CFTC, which is the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Their credibility jumped during the 2024 presidential campaign when Polymarket's betting odds correctly signaled a decisive Trump victory, while traditional polls pointed to a tight race. Competition has now intensified as Cauchy rapidly has been gaining ground, leaving the two platforms with roughly equal market share and nearly $9 billion in combined monthly bets. Polymarket's recent approval to operate directly in the U.S. has further escalated the rivalry, ending a period when it was effectively sidelined from the domestic market. Both firms are racing to lock in partnerships, teaming up with major sports leagues, brokerages, media outlets like CNN and CNBC in order to mainstream their data and probabilities. Sports dominate betting activity, especially on Cauchy, while Polymarket sees a more even split between sports, politics, and culture. Economic betting is growing fast, with users currently assigning an 80% probability that the Fed holds rates steady in January, and all sorts of other events. And the scope keeps widening as traders now bet on everything from snowfall totals, movie ratings, to how often Elon Musk will post on X. And so as gambling is changing, so too is the gambling industry. And understanding where things are headed into 2026 and beyond can help inform you and make you a better investor. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin and I thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads on iTunes and Spotify. And while you're at it, check out our YouTube channel, InvestTalk with 2 T's, for YouTube-exclusive content. Remember, on December 18th, we are going to have our first ever InvestTalk holiday special that is this Thursday, so don't forget to tune in. As always, if this show made you think about your own financial picture and whether it's all working the best it can, Justin and I would love to speak with you. In fact, we speak to investors just like you each and every day. If you're interested, head over to investtalk.com and click the portfolio review button. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.